This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live. Hope you all had a very merry Christmas, a happy and a healthy and safe Christmas, and enjoyed all the sports action, whether it was the five-slate NBA schedule or if it was the three games in the NFL that you were watching and betting on. We hope you cashed, and we hope you didn't have the Grinch visit you here on Christmas Day. Let's take a look, though, as we project forward to Week 17 and the weekend coming up here in the NFL. There are correlations that we can bet on as far as what results are connected to each other. And what I mean by that is we talked about betting on teams or betting against teams based off of motivation in certain game situations. Teams that have something to play for, teams that don't have something to play for. And by the way, the market movement on the teams that are in like the must-win situations, completely wrong, right? Oh, the market moved in favor of the Colts last week. Must-win situation. That didn't work out for them. Oh, the market moved in favor of the Lions. Must-win situation. Didn't work out for them. Be careful of the market moving, taxing you based off of these perceived must-win situations. Because sometimes it's just moving the line too much, and you're better off playing the other side. But let's take a look at this schedule here in Week 17, because There are games that are connected to each other. Let's look at both games on Saturday and how it affects the games coming up on Sunday. On Saturday, we will have two games, as we mentioned, the Houston Texans at the Chargers and the Baltimore Ravens at the Green Bay Packers. If the Texans defeat the Chargers, that would eliminate the Indianapolis Colts from postseason contention. Therefore, the correlation is betting on the Texans and then betting on the Jaguars. If you think that because the Colts are eliminated, there's a little bit of a lack of intensity, maybe they coach differently in certain situations, maybe they go for it now on fourth down instead of playing conservative, they're a little bit more aggressive, which could lead to maybe a more high variance game. The coaches coach differently when the win, it's a must win, you know? You could be a little tighter if it's a must win situation. Maybe you're more likely to take the points. Maybe you're more likely to punt it away. Play it safe. Rely on your defense. Maybe that's not the case if the season's over. And now you're just letting the players go out there and ball out and have fun. So, I think the correlation in this one is simple. Texans, 2, the Jacksonville Jaguars. The other correlation is on the opposite side. If the Chargers beat the Texans, well, then you get an extra motivated Indianapolis Colts team that knows that their window is still open. The opportunity is still in front of them. And so they can go out there and they can win the game and make the playoffs. So a Texans correlated bet to the Jaguars and a Chargers correlated bet to the Indianapolis Colts. Chargers money line parlayed with Colts money line up on DraftKings right now is plus 475. Chargers money line parlayed with Colts plus 6.5 is plus 234 up on DraftKings right now. Texans money line parlayed with Jaguars money line is plus 185. Texans money line parlayed with Jaguars minus 6.5, which would be the way that I would do it, plus 304. That would be the way that I would do it. Texans money line with Jaguars minus the 6.5. Now, in the second game, you have the Baltimore Ravens, likely with Tyler Huntley at quarterback, with their season being over. I mean, I know it's not technically, but it is. And so that game is correlated to the Pittsburgh Steelers because a Ravens loss here officially eliminates them. The Ravens need to win and then get help from the Baltimore Ravens in order to make next week's game against the Steelers matter. I don't think the Ravens win this game against the Green Bay Packers. The correlation here is if the Packers beat the Ravens, how aggressive is Mike Tomlin going to coach against the Cleveland Browns? What decisions does Mike Tomlin make against the Cleveland Browns? Does TJ Watt play in this game as TJ Watt is returning and he's practicing now and he is returning to practice from that the punctured lung that he suffered? And yes, he's practicing. Does that mean that he's going to play in this game? You know, if it means them clinching the division, maybe. But if it also means that the Ravens won, it also means that week 18 possibly means something. And so maybe you hold TJ Watt out for week 18. But the bottom line is, if the Ravens lose, you could sit TJ for the final 2 weeks. You could sit Aaron Rodgers for the final 2 weeks. You already have DK Metcalf suspended for the next two games. The correlation is the Packers to win with the Cleveland Browns to win against the Steelers, or just the Cleveland Browns plus three against the Steelers. Because if you're Tomlin, why is Aaron Rodgers playing the whole game in a meaningless game when you've already clinched? You're locked into the four seed. You're not improving your standings in the conference. You're already without Metcalf. You're already without TJ Watt. You take it easy here on the road against the Cleveland Browns in a game where you know can get physical, and it's just unnecessary to be involved in that type of game. Rodgers may start. I don't think he plays the whole game. DraftKings and FanDuel, by the way, will not let you do the correlated parlay of Packers money line and Browns money line. I've tried it. I've had other people try it. They won't let you do it. Some books do. MGM lets you do it. I bet it on MGM at Packers money line and Browns money line. I think it's quite interesting that these two online books, the two major online books, don't let you do the correlated parlay of the two likely outcomes based on the results. Packers money line against the Ravens, and then Browns money line against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it's very interesting that they don't let you do that. You could Packers minus 4.5 with Browns plus 3. Can't even do that. You cannot bet the Browns and the Packers together. You can bet the Ravens and the Steelers together, the opposite side of the correlation. I don't want that side of the correlation because I think the Ravens lose this game. I think the Ravens lose to the Packers, so I want to be on the Cleveland Browns. So for me, the correlation is betting the Packers and then betting the Cleveland Browns. Now, if you can't parlay it, just bet the money lines if you want. You could do Packers on the money line, then roll over your money onto the Cleveland Browns. You don't even have to do the parlay. I'm just trying to get cute here with some bets. But those are the correlated plays here in Week 17. Because you have an outcome that could happen here on Saturday that affects directly teams that are playing the next day on Sunday, these are very easy correlations to make. Now, there are some other fascinating games here on this Week 17 slate. We'll be talking about it more here over the course of Friday into Saturday here on VSiN. The game of the week is the Eagles and the Bills, where right now Buffalo is a 1 to 1.5 point favorite. What this line is telling us is that on a neutral field, these are even teams. I've talked about this bet before, but this game in particular is re-emphasizing an earlier take that I had. And that is, if you have a book out there that has an advanced line available on the Super Bowl, you make the bet on the Super Bowl right now. You bet the NFC to win the Super Bowl. Or you bet the NFC -1.5, -2.5, whatever that line is. The last time I saw it, a couple of weeks ago, it was -130. Again, shop around, different books will have this line available. Some books don't. But some books have a future bet here on the Super Bowl. Think about this line. Eagles and Bills even on a neutral. The Bills are the highest power-rated team in the AFC. If you look, and look no further than the Packers being a favorite going to Denver, right, a couple of weeks ago. But if the Bills play any team in the NFC in the Super Bowl, they will be an underdog unless it's like, you know, if they play the Rams, they're a dog. If they play the Eagles, it's an even line. That's only if it's the Buffalo Bills, mind you. Any other team is going to be a significant underdog to any team coming out of the NFC. Whether it's the Patriots, Broncos, Jaguars, they'll all be significant underdogs to any team coming out of the NFC. If you have a book that offers you a Super Bowl bet right now on the NFC, make the bet now because you're going to get better than what the price is going to be by the time you get to the Super Bowl. Right now is the best time of the year for bettors, and the all-new Boomers Sportsbook is bringing you the action. Football, hockey, basketball, and more. Use code VSIN250 when you sign up for a Boomers mobile account. They're going to match your first deposit up to $250 in bonus bets. Plus, you'll get -105 on all football spreads every regular season game. Download the Boomers Sportsbook app today. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. Must be 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply. Bet responsibly. I placed a bet on Boomers Sportsbook for a niche market. I'll tell you about it coming up next here on Cashing Out on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Sattenberg back here with you, cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You guys can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us off on the network at VSiN Live. As we say goodbye to Christmas Day, and we are thankful for the action that we had here on Christmas. Five games in the NBA, three games in the NFL. Certainly a great sports betting day, as it has become a great sports betting day, much like Thanksgiving and other holidays. We have New Year's coming up, certainly, college football. And we'll talk about college football in a few minutes because we have three bowl games here on Friday. But this time of the year is also special for myself because the day after Christmas is the start of one of my favorite events to bet on every single year. And it's a niche market. There are not many folks out there that are betting this stuff. But to me, this is... It's one of those markets where if you study, if you prep, you can have an advantage over the sports books. And that is the IIHF World Junior Hockey Championships, the under 20 World Championships. The United States has won the last two tournaments. They are looking for the three-peat. Tournament this year is on U.S. soil. It is in Minnesota. And the action gets started here on Friday, December 26th. The reason why I think that this is a soft market that can be beat is because there's so much stuff going on now, right? Of course, we have the NBA marquee slate here on Christmas, more NBA games coming up over the next couple of weeks. The NFL is king, we know. We're in the midst of the college football playoff coming up on New Year's Eve. We'll have a college football playoff game, New Year's Day, of course. We got bowl games going on. There's more important things for the book to be handling. There's more handle, speaking of handle, there's more money that's being bet on these other events. And so some of the lines on the games here can be beat as opposed to, you know, more difficult games to line in the NHL where there's more information. Because the thing is, there's not a lot of information here for the sports books to go off of. It's a guess. It's a guess. It's a computer guess on what the line should be. Looking at this tournament, there's a couple of things that jump off the page to me as far as from a betting perspective. First off, when you look for your sports book here, certain sports books have this market, certain don't. You look at the online books, FanDuel, DraftKings, it'll be under the hockey tab, and then you'll go to international hockey. You'll find it under world, either it'll say World Junior Championship, or it might just say U20, under 20. Here in Vegas, Boomers Sportsbook, who we just did a read for last segment, Boomers has this under, if you scroll down to all sports, you go to the hockey tab, you go to international hockey, you'll find the World Juniors there, the under 20 championships. So find a book that has the lines, right? And then try and take advantage of some soft lines. You'll notice when you look at these games, the spreads are wild, okay? This isn't a traditional NHL game where the favorite's going to be minus a goal and a half. It will be in some games, like when we get to the medal round and whatnot, but the talent disparity is so large between these teams that you're going to find crazy spreads. Minus 2.5s are normal. In the instance of what we have here on Friday with Team USA going up against Germany, the United States on the goal, on the puck line, 5.5-point favorites, 5.5-goal favorites. They are minus 5.5 in that game. Total is 7.5, by the way. So think about the results that have to happen in order for that game not to go over, but the U.S. to cover. There's only two scores that could happen. If it's 5-0, the United States, or if it's 6-1, the United States. That's the only way. Actually, no. It would have to be 6-0, right, is the only score that could happen for them to win by 6 goals and for it to not go over 7.5. Because if it's 6-0 or 7-0, that's it. The only two scores. 7-1 goes over 7.5. So the question, if you think for that game, is if you think the United States, if you think Germany scores 1 goal, then yeah, the game probably goes over. The U.S. probably does score 5 goals in this game. The United States has a stacked roster. 8 returning players from last year's gold medal team are back here in the World Juniors for the United States this year. And yes, they are trying to make it back to the final. They are trying to make it a three-peat here. They have a couple of players that are big prospects in the NHL that have been, you know, players to that are playing here, as some teams are request to have NHL players that are on rosters to be able to be released to come play for the World Juniors. We'll talk about one of the players in particular. One of the players in particular that did not get released was Macklin Celebrini of the San Jose Sharks, who is still of age and eligible to play in this tournament. The Sharks obviously not releasing him. He's playing on the Sharks right now. But boy, Canada would love to have Macklin Celebrini. But they got other players. We'll talk about them in just a moment. And so you look at what the roster looks like for these teams. You look at the how many draft picks they have on these teams. That's always the first place I look at these rosters. How many NHL draft picks? How many current NHL players? You know, minor league players, AHL players, all that stuff. How many draft picks? And specifically look at the goaltenders. Because the goaltenders will tell you a lot about what you can expect here from these teams. For instance, when the United States won, they were led back, you know, a couple of years. They had, remember, Spencer Knight was huge for the United States, winning, playing in the World Juniors. Trey Augustine, over the past couple of years, has been tremendous in net for the United States. Now they're going to rely on Nicholas Kemp, so we'll see what he's able to do here in this tournament. The team that I love to win this event, though, they are the odds-on favorite right now, and that is Canada. Plus 110 you can get on Canada to win the World Juniors. The United States is the second favorite at plus 220. Sweden is third at plus 450. Canada is the favorite because, on paper, this is the most talented roster in this tournament. Now, if you just looked at the rosters, and that's the only reason why you would make a bet on this tournament, you'd be well within your rights, and that's perfectly good handicap, and that's all you're going to say is, boom, Canada's got the best roster, I'm going with Canada to win this event. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Because, yes, on paper, this roster is stacked. Michael Misa, was the was second overall pick in the draft. He's been released from his duties with the Sharks, so he can play for Team Canada. They have Jerome Iginla's kid, who is playing, Tiege Iginla, at forward. They have the potential number one overall pick in this year's draft in Gavin McKenna playing for Team Canada. Their goaltender, Carter George, was actually the best goaltender in the tournament last year, where Canada failed to medal. And that's where the intangible part of this handicap comes from. Hockey Canada has gone through quite the past couple of years. Okay, a lot of all the stuff happening with, you know, the international players and the legal things and, you know, Carter Hart and that whole story. Glad that's over with. But also, Canada, they haven't medaled. They didn't medal last year in the World Juniors. They were bronze 2 years ago in the World Juniors. Last year's performance was kind of embarrassing for them. Hockey Canada revamped the way that they have built this team and the way that they have built this program as a direct result of what happened last year and also leading up to the Olympics this year. Certainly the Four Nations face-off was big for them, huge, and we'll see what they're able to do once they go to Milan for the Olympics coming up in a couple months. But for the World Juniors specifically, they retooled the way that they did their training camp and did their roster, and they have put they hired a general manager to oversee things. They want this tournament. It's not on their home soil. It might as well be, with it being in Minnesota, so close. Not only do they have the best roster in this event, it means more to them. It means so much with the embarrassment that occurred last year. They're the redeem team this year. The redeem team this year, like we had with the USA basketball. That's what this World Juniors team is for Canada in this tournament. Their first game is here on Friday against the Czech Republic. The total is 6.5. Canada is a 2.5 favorite on the goal line, the puck line. I love the over in this game. Canada's going to score their fair share of goals. And if there's one thing we can look at the Czech Republic roster and say is that they have talented forwards. They don't have a lot of defensemen. They don't have good goaltenders. But their forwards, they have 7 or 8 NHL draft picks on this roster. The Czech Republic will be able to score some goals, but so will Team Canada. Best bet for day one of the World Juniors, over 6.5 between Canada and Czechia. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you, cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. As bowl season continues here on Friday in college football with 3 games on your schedule. The action gets started at 1 o'clock Eastern time in the Game Above Sports Bowl, being played at Ford Field in Detroit, Michigan. Central Michigan taking on Northwestern. Right now, Northwestern a 10.5-point favorite in this game, total of 43.5. And you wonder, does Central Michigan get a little bit of a boost here, playing in a stadium that is the MAC stadium? Now, certainly, they would much rather be playing, they would have played in this game, in this stadium, like a week or so ago, in the MAC championship, as opposed to playing this game now in Ford Field in the Game Above Sports Bowl. But I do think Central Michigan will have the crowd in this building. As I mentioned, this is the MAC's building there in Detroit. This is where the MAC championship game is every year. The Central Michigan players, the end goal of their season is to play at Ford Field. It's hard with bowl season to look at the regular season raw numbers, because these teams are a shell of themselves when it comes to bowl season. There's also the lack of motivation. What do the teams look like here? I have no idea. Central Michigan Angel Flores is allegedly going to play in this game. He's their quarterback who, when he plays, they average double the rushing yards than when he doesn't play. So if he plays, do they run the football as effectively as they have during the regular season? Because if you look at this game, just based off raw data, just based off what these teams were in the regular season, you would think that Central Michigan would be able to run the football on Northwestern. Northwestern defensively this season, 118th in success, 109th against the pass, 103rd against the run. You would think Central Michigan would be able to run the football here on Northwestern. But again, with these games, it's so hard to see, like, what it's so hard to think what we're going to see. As far as overall on the season, Central Michigan is, I don't want to call them like a service academy team, but they run like a service academy team. Central Michigan this season is fifth in the nation in rushing rate over expected. Your top running rate teams over expected are the service academies, Army, Air Force, Navy, and then Rice, who runs that style, triple option style offense pretty much. So Central Michigan, fifth in the nation in rushing rate over expected. We have seen bowl games trend towards the under, with the exception of the Hawaii Bowl, obviously, which went over. It feels like an under play for me in this game. Now, it is indoors on a fast track, so you're concerned about that, but it's a low total at 43.5 with good reason. It feels like there's just going to be a lot of running the football here. A lot of running the football. And as I mentioned, Northwestern does not do well in stopping the run this year. But are you going to have your full complement of players? Are you going to have your full rosters for both of these teams? Right now, if I had to make a bet on this game, I'd take the points with Central Michigan. If I had to make a play, I'm taking the points here with Central Michigan. Let's move on to the next game. New Mexico takes on Minnesota in the Rate Bowl being played at Chase Field in Phoenix, Arizona. Minnesota is a small favorite, 1.5. Total in this one, also low, 43.5, just like it was in the first game. Minnesota, perfect 6-0 in bowl games under their head coach, PJ Fleck. But this is a team this year that has been some of the biggest home and road splits that you're going to see in college football. They have not done well on the road this season. In away games, they lost to Cal 27-14. They get blown out at Ohio State 42-3. They get blown out at Iowa 41-3. Blown out at Oregon 42-13. And then they lose a high-scoring close game at Northwestern 38-35. They don't win away from Minnesota. Now I'm supposed to think that this team is going to be practicing hard over the last 3 weeks or month in between their last game and now to fly down to Arizona to get out of the cold in Minnesota and to go stay in their beautiful hotel there, wherever they're staying outside in the Phoenix area, and then go play this bowl game. And I'm supposed to expect them to, like, just dominate and win on the road? Feels like New Mexico are passed for me in this game. Again, if we're looking at the metrics just on paper from what they are from the regular season, on paper, New Mexico's the better team. New Mexico's numbers have been much better than Minnesota this season. Minnesota, offensively, they can't run the football. 130th in offensive success running the football. Defensively, they can't stop the pass. 122nd in defensive success against the pass. If I had to make a play, New Mexico or pass. However, you look at the injuries here. You look at the potential opt-outs. I don't know what we're going to see here for both of these teams. And it's a huge problem when it comes for bowl games. And yes, P. PJ Fleck is 6-0 in bowl games in Minnesota. So while this team has been terrible on the road this year, he has a history of getting his teams ready to play in an extra game a month after the season ends. I just don't know if this version of this team is good enough for me to back. So it's New Mexico or pass. Your final game of the day is going to be the ServPro First Responder Bowl being played in Dallas, Gerald Ford Stadium, SMU's home stadium there. Florida International takes on UTSA. It's not that far of a travel. UTSA will certainly likely have the crowd here. Is it 2 hours maybe? How far is it, San Antonio to Dallas? I don't know Texas geography here. San Antonio to Dallas is 4 hours. Okay. Hey, 4 hours in Texas is like 2 hours anywhere else, I guess. But I would expect them to have the crowd. I don't know how many fans are making the trip from Florida International to head over to San Antonio to see head over to Dallas to see this game, but okay. Again, on paper, you're looking at both of these teams. It's not close. If these teams were at full strength and these were the regular season versions of these teams, it is not even close. FIU, 108th in offensive success running the football. They are 108th in defensive success against the run. Meanwhile, UTSA, under Jeff Traylor, they have a lot of fun. 27th in success rate passing the football. Defensively, net EPA per play, though, one of the worst in the country, 109th. But they can put up points, especially in their home building. This is not in their home building, though. This is in Dallas. This is outdoors. This is not on the indoor fast track there in the Alamo Dome. Then there's the opt-outs. Head coach Jeff Traylor of UTSA said, quote, that his team will be a shell of themselves for the bowl game. He said that he expects them to be without 10 to 20 players because of injuries, the transfer portal, opt-outs, and whatnot. This line was UTSA minus 9 about a week or so ago. Now it's down to UTSA minus 5.5. I got to be honest, I was on UTSA before the line moved, before I found out about all of these potential opt-outs. Because, you know, I thought that FIU was going to be down to a third-string quarterback, but it turns out that maybe both of their quarterbacks could actually play in this game, in Joe Pazanski and Keon Jenkins, who are both dealing with injuries. So there's a chance that both of them are actually playing in this game. That's according to head coach Willie Simmons. So naturally, the line has moved. I can't touch this game. There's too much uncertainty. Again, I did like UTSA when I thought that FIU was going to be without their quarterbacks. I did like UTSA before I heard that they were going to be without 10 to 20 players in this game. The total is 60.5, though. And if watching these bowl games showed us anything, it's that this total is too high. The UNLV total was 66.5 in their game against Ohio. Both of those teams barely scored any points. 60.5 feels like too many points in bowl season right now. If this was 49, I don't know if I'd touch it. But at 60.5, it's under or pass for Florida International against UTSA. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. We'll recap the best bets coming up next right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You guys can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live as we had a fun Christmas day here, sweating out our action in the NBA and in the NFL. The action that we saw in the NFL here, the three-game slate, all three underdogs covering just like they did on Thanksgiving. So not a good Christmas for the public that maybe had backed the favorites here. not a good Christmas for my teaser suggestion of taking the Lions down, because that clearly didn't work, as the only dog to win outright was the Minnesota Vikings defeating the Detroit Lions. Your three results here on Christmas Day in the game one, it was the Cowboys, a 30-23 win over the Commanders. That was the only game of the three to go over the total, but the Commanders do cover. The Vikings get the outright win over the Lions, 23-10, despite the Lions, the Vikings, only having three net passing yards. That's right. Three net passing yards in this game, and they win 23-10. Jared Goff and the Lions turned it over six times. Six turnovers. And then in the nightcap, it was the Broncos, a 20-13 win over the Kansas City Chiefs. An ugly win for Denver, but a win is a win. And when you have no threat of the opposition doing anything against you offensively, you're not really concerned. Chris Oladokun threw for 66 yards. Did throw for a touchdown. Congratulations. But never a threat here to the Denver Broncos. 20-13, the win for Denver, but Kansas City covers as 13.5-point favorites. And the game goes under the total there. So three underdogs winning, two unders, and one game going over. In the NBA, the New York Knicks come from 17 points down to defeat the Cavaliers 126-124 in the early game. Jalen Brunson had 34 points. Donovan Mitchell had 34, including a posterizing jam late in the fourth quarter. Knicks come back, though, with a 42-28 fourth quarter win to win that game. They don't cover, though. Game does go over the total. The Spurs, for the third time in less than 2 weeks, defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder. 117-102 was the final. Spurs win outright as close to double-digit dogs in this game. And I think it's obvious now that the Oklahoma City Thunder have a San Antonio Spurs problem. There is something that the Spurs have identified, or the way in which they play, that is capitalizing on just what the Thunder try to do offensively. Whether it's Wemby coming off the bench and giving Chet Holmgren fits, or whether it's the way that the guards, the young guards, are playing, whatever it is, the Spurs have figured out the Oklahoma City Thunder. Back-to-back wins over them. They won on Tuesday in San Antonio. Now they win here on Christmas in Oklahoma City. And I would sign up right now, and I think all of you would sign up right now, to see these teams in a playoff series. The Warriors beat the Mavericks 126-116, so Golden State covers that game. Cooper Flagg, the rookie, had 27 points in the loss. Anthony Davis got hurt in this game and had to leave. But Warriors cover, 16-15 now on the season. Rockets with a win and cover in L.A., 119-96. Kevin Durant had 25 points. Luka had 25 in the loss. LeBron only had 18 points. He was a negative 33 on the floor last night. And then in your nightcap, what a game it was. The Nuggets, a 142-138 overtime win over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Jokic finishes with 56 points, 16 rebounds, 15 assists. Anthony Edwards in the overtime loss, 44 points, 6 boards in the loss. We have a big slate of NBA games. Well, not big, but we have a pretty nice size slate of NBA games coming up here. On Friday, we have the Heat at the Hawks, where Atlanta is a 4.5-point favorite. The Hornets visit the Magic. Orlando, 6.5-point favorites. Raptors are at the Wizards. Toronto laying 7.5. Celtics visit the Pacers. Boston, 8.5-point favorites. 76ers are at the Bulls. Chicago, a 1.5-point favorite. Bucks are at the Grizzlies. Memphis, 4.5-point favorites. Suns visit the Pelicans. Phoenix, 3.5-point road favorites. Pistons are at the Jazz. Detroit laying 9.5 on the road. And the Clippers are at the Blazers, L.A., a 1.5-point favorite. That Pistons and Jazz game is very interesting. We spoke to our guest, Mackenzie Rivers, earlier on the program. Also, Doug Kazarian was a guest on VSiN Primetime earlier on Christmas, talked about this game as well. The Jazz in the first half, not only are they covering the spread, they are going over the total. And it's one of the best systems that you're going to find here in the NBA this season, is looking at what the Utah Jazz have done in the first halves of games this season, and specifically at home this year, and that is cover and go over. It's been incredible. In the first half, they are 10-19. They're 19-10. Excuse me. Over the total here in the first half, 19-10 to the over in the first half. That's just on the season. I'm sorry. At home this year, 14-3 to the over at home in the first half. 14-3 to the over in the first half at home for the Utah Jazz. So that would be a play here for this game. Shout out Doug, shout out McKenzie on that one here. Just an incredible trend that goes back several years. We also saw, we have three bowl games coming up here. We just previewed them for this Friday. The bowl games that we're going to see, Central Michigan and Northwestern at Ford Field in Detroit. The Game Above Sports Bowl, Northwestern, a 10.5-point favorites. I would take the points here with Central Michigan. We have New Mexico and Minnesota playing in the Rate Bowl in Phoenix. To me, it's New Mexico or pass. And we have Florida International and UTSA in the Surf Pro First Responder Bowl being played in Dallas. I'd go under 60.5 in that game. As we've seen, these bowl games are going under. And 60.5 is just too much with all the uncertainty with players, who's playing, who's not playing, and the lack of motivation. If, you know, we certainly don't know about those teams. So I would go under 60.5 in this game between Florida International and UTSA. It's also the start of the World Junior Hockey Championships. It's one of my favorite events to bet on every single year. My best bet to win the tournament is Team Canada. They are minor. They are plus 110, the short odds to be the tournament winners. They didn't medal last year. This is their version of the Redeem Team. An absolute stacked roster where on paper, this is the best roster in the tournament. Led by second overall pick in this most recent draft, Michael Misa. The potential number one overall pick in this draft, Gavin McKenna. Tiege Eginla, Carter George in net. This is an elite squad. They start their tournament here coming up on Friday as they take on Czechia, the Czech Republic. Total in that game is 6.5. I'm going with the over. Czechia has got about 7 or 8 first-round picks on their roster, NHL caliber talent, and if there's one thing that these kids can do, they can score. I don't know how much they can play defense. I don't know how well their goalie can play against this Canada team, but this is a Canada team that can light up the score. They played a tune-up game, they did, Team Canada did, as all these teams have done in the prior to the World Juniors, right? And they played Denmark a couple of days ago and scored 13 goals, Team Canada did. They won 13-2. In their final tune-up game for this tournament. Gavin McKenna had 5 points. I mean, this is just both Tiege Eginla and Porter Martone both scored 2 goals in that game. That was a dominant performance in their round, in their pre-tournament tune-up. It's -2.5 if you wanted to lay the puck line here with Canada against the Czech Republic. The only reason why I'm avoiding that is because I think they can win by 2. I think it could be a 5-3 game. I think it could be maybe 4-3, 6-4 maybe. Like, it's the first game of the tournament. I don't necessarily want to bank on their defense here or their goaltending, even though I do like Carter George in net. I just think the better way to handle this to me would be to go with the over 6.5. The United States takes on Germany. They are 5.5 favorites on the puck line. These two teams played each other last week in a pre-tournament exhibition. The United States won 8-0. Total in this is 7.5, which is interesting because you have a 5.5 goal spread and a total of 7.5. That means there's only 2 scores that can go under if the U.S. covers 5.5. 6-0 and 7-0. They just won 8-0 against this same team last week. USA or pass in that one. Well, guys, thank you for joining us here on Christmas. We hope you had a wonderful Christmas day. And you could wake up here on Friday with VSiN by the Books at 7 a.m. Eastern with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. And on the show, Warren Sharp is going to break down his best bets for NFL Week 17, followed by a numbers game at 10 a.m. Eastern, and then stick around for prop points at 1 o'clock. I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is Cashin' Out on the Sports Betting Network.